Father, prepare us to receive what you've sent in this man. Touch us, Lord, that we might hear your truth, we might accept your truth, and thereby be changed and made free. And touch this man, Lord. Remind him of everything that you've given him. Let not one thing slip from his memory or from his heart. Empower him today, Lord, to powerfully speak your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody. Good to see you. I love that last song we sang, Let the Weak Say I Am Strong. Do you know that we are all weak and that we depend completely on the Lord Jesus as our Savior to provide all things? God has already told us that He knows what we need before we even ask it. And sometimes when we get down, we get down and get depressed and we're walking in the valley, and we always know that we have our Heavenly Father that we can depend on. And He's only just a prayer away, just a whisper away. And I have turned and I have learned over the last few weeks more and more that prayer is a powerful and exciting tool to use if we use it in faith. Now, I've learned also that God is not going to answer every single prayer that I ask Him to answer. He will answer those prayers that when it's in His will and when it's in accordance to what He desires and wants. And sometimes in that desire of my heart, I try to get ahead of God. But God will answer prayer. Now, if He doesn't answer it today, just be patient. Keep calling upon the name of the Lord. Many of my prayers are being answered instantly, simultaneously with the prayer. As soon as I say amen, it's over. And so I'm just amazed at the power of God in prayer. And so I want you to share that with me, and I want you to practice it. And let's just really get into prayer. We've got several things that we want to pray about. If you have prayer requests today, if you look on the inside of your song books, there's some little prayer request forms. Just fill them out and get them to me by the end of the service. And then we'll put them in our newsletter that goes out this coming week, and then we can all share in the prayers there. Before we begin the message today, I do want to welcome our visitor, Mary Jane. Good to have you today, Miss Mary Jane Hall. She lives right down the street here. She walked up, and there's several people in the audience today that lives right here on this street or across the street, and so you'll see some of your church friends on the street here next week. That once you get to know them, Linda lives right down the road from you, and Ling lives right around the corner from you, and Walter lives across the street from you. So you'll see many of them. I have a special thing that I want to do today. I'm just so thankful for God leading Brother Russell Wallace into my life probably 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, Russell. And his wife, Beth, came to me one day and she said, I'm getting married and I want you to marry us. And I had the honor of marrying Russell and his wife Beth. Both of them are, as you know them, Holy Spirit filled Christian people, and serving the Lord all the time. Russell has been instrumental in this church in helping us here, and in all kinds of ways and things, and praying, and Russell has just been a faithful servant of this church. You know, faithful servants are servants of God, not of the pastor. And it's time for Russell to move on. Russell has been called into a new ministry at another church. And I'm just so glad of that, Russell, that you're going to be able to continue serving God in the capacity that He's called you to do. And Brother Russell's going to be going over to Good Samaritan Church. I think it's all the way across the other side of town. Pastor Glenn Burns is the pastor over there. And so we're just going to pray for Russell today. And I'd like for you to join me in prayer. Russell, if you don't mind, come up here, and Brother Leroy and I want to pray for you. And pray for your ministry and pray for the things that you do. And just come right here and stand between us. And we just want to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I come to you right now with my brother Russell and brother Leroy and with the church and God for the brothers and sisters that stand here. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you'll anoint him and empower him. Keep him safe. Give him good health. Bless his dear wife. Help her. Strengthen her. Father, I pray that where they go and the service and the ministry they go into, I pray, Father, that you'll just pour out your blessings on it. I pray, God, that you'll just use him in a mighty and strong way to tell people about Jesus and continue the work of doing the Great Commission. And, Father, just being your man in a sinful world. In the name of Jesus, we send him out today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Russell. Thank you so much.
I just want to say it's been a privilege to be a member of the congregation. And I hope that the Holy Spirit continues to move among everybody so that the church will grow and be the mythical factor of the community, especially in this neighborhood, and then broaden itself to where the whole world cares about it.
Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Another ministry that we're beginning, and Sister Angela is going to be heading that up, is a seniors ministry. So we'll be talking more about that. I think she's getting up a date and getting up an event now. And so we'll be talking about that more as we get along. Go ahead and take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. And we're going to go into look at some things today and research something and just think about something that we hear a lot of. We hear a lot about the word holiness. Today, let's look at it, see what that word means. Let's see what the practice of holiness is, how it'll benefit you. One of the things that I know about holiness or a holy life is that you can only have a holy life if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you put him first in your life. If you live in the secular world or if you practice any other kind of religion or faith, you will not be holy because you don't have the Holy One living inside of you. The Bible says that he is holy. He never sinned. He doesn't know what sin is and he can't sin. And so we know that God is holy, and his Son, Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are parts of the Trinity. They are holy. They are God, and Jesus was God in the flesh, and he was a perfect man without sin. That's a good definition of what holiness is. And so as we pursue holiness, we have to remember and understand that you and I live in the flesh. We are of humanity. We are children of Adam, and of course we know that we are born into sin because of what Adam did. When we were born, the day we were born in sin, brought up in sin. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7 that we think sin. Sin is in our minds, it's in our hearts. And he named several of those sins. And so Jesus knew that the time would come when we would need a Savior. We would need someone whose blood would be shed as a sacrifice, so that we could be forgiven of our sins and that we could be bought back or purchased back and that we could live in glory with heaven, with Jesus, forever and ever. And so let's remember as we go into this thing and study about holiness, that this is not something that the Bible says we can't obtain complete holiness except through the blood of Christ Jesus. And even after we've been saved, we are still going to face our flesh because we live in the flesh. We're still going to have those kind of thoughts that we have, emotions, anger, jealousy, all of the things that so evilly beset against us, we still have those things. It's a constant struggle. It is a job. It is work. Now, let's don't get confused here. Your salvation comes from grace, from God's grace, completely, his mercy upon us. That's how you are saved. God saves you through His grace. That's what Ephesians 2:8 teaches us. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But after you get saved, guess what? That's when the work starts. That's when where a comment from the Apostle James comes in. You show me your works, and I'll show you my grace, and I'll show you that. And Lord, and we know that when we get saved, it's all about God's grace, a wonderful gift of salvation He's given us. But do you know that then He expects us to go to work? And that's when the works come in. There's good works, things that we do for people, helping others, family members, living a good life. Those are good works and good, admirable things to do. But we have a work of sanctification to do in ourselves and in our hearts. God didn't save us so that we could continue to wallow in the pig pen where He found us. He didn't save us and clean us up for us to go back and get dirty again, in other words. So we have to stay clean as we can, and we have to work. And as Apostle Paul said, we need to exercise ourselves into godliness. So the only way that you're going to have complete rest and joy. Now listen to me here. You got to get this part, because this is really important in your life and in my life. We all seek after rest. Now, there's two kinds of rest. One kind of rest is a physical kind of rest, and that's the kind of rest when I get my cup of coffee and I get in my recliner, and I pull the handle back, and it flips back, and I sit there and drink my coffee, and I'm at complete ease. And if I want to, I can set my coffee cup down and take me a little siesta or nap. I don't know if some of you do that or not. That is a good physical rest. That's the way we rest our bodies, and we rest our mind, and we kind of call a time out. Sometimes we rest at night in a good 8 hours sleep. But that's a physical rest, but that's different from the rest that we want to talk about today, and that is a spiritual rest. What is spiritual rest? A spiritual rest is a person who is living in complete peace and joy, contentment, satisfaction, no worries. Remember what Jesus said about worries? It's not going to add one inch to your height. It's not going to add one day to your life. Worrying is just something that you don't need. Stress. Unfortunately, we have a lot of things that bother us, and a lot of things that really get on top of us, and we do worry sometimes, and we have a lot of stress. That's the kind of things that Jesus was teaching about. That interrupts, those things interrupt your spiritual rest. We want to have a completeness. We want to have peace and harmony. Now, I will tell you this. Almost every single thing that brings you, not always, but many things that brings chaos into your life is self-inflicted wounds from our sin nature and from things that we do. Every time we're not at rest, in complete rest in the Lord Jesus, it's usually about some sin that we've done or something that we've committed. The Christian should always be committed to seeking after holiness. And the Christian should always be willing to seek after God with their whole heart. Remember what Jesus told us. He said, I'll never forsake you, and I'll never abandon you, and I'll never put more on you than what you can bear. So no matter where we are, we can have physical rest, and we can have spiritual rest. I recall some times in Paul's life when he was thrown into jails and down in the bottom of the dungeons. He had rest. He had contentment. He had peace, and he had joy. He and another fellow one night sang, got to singing in the jailhouse so loud down in the dungeon, and praying and singing that they converted the jailer. The jail started rocking, amen? It's kind of like old Elvis Presley song, Jailhouse Rock. You remember that? They had the jailhouse rocking that night, but it wasn't because of a rock and roll song. It was because of their seeking after God and praising God with a whole heart and with a thankful heart of what He'd done to them. And even though they were in this predicament, they had complete peace and they had complete joy and they had complete contentment. That's the kind of contentment and joy and peace that holiness will bring. Now, what is holiness? Holiness is good character, good morals, living a sin-free life, thinking with the right kind of mind, thinking good thoughts, shying away from all of the things of the world, following after Jesus with our whole hearts. Holiness, being like God. How does it stand between you and God this morning? How does it stand? Are you at peace? Are you at contentment? If you died tonight, are you completely satisfied and know that when you stand before God, He's going to be able to say to you, "Come in, my good and faithful servant." If you live your life in holiness and contentment, you live for Christ. It's not an option. We don't have a choice about holiness. Once we become Christians, Jesus' blood has cleansed us from all sin. And like the old song said, we were singing this morning, that's when the weak can lift up their hands and shout, "I am strong." And the poor can say, "I am rich." And the Bible says He'll straighten out the road for you. He'll take the curves out of the road. He'll make the road level and easy to travel if you trust in Him through His wonderful grace. Option. It's not an option. When we go to buy car insurance, for example, the agent will ask you a few questions. Do you want accident, collision? Do you want personal injury? What kind of deductible do you want? He gives you all kind of options to buy when you go down to buy car insurance. Now, with the Christian walk and in the Christian life, there's no options. It's not halfway over the fence one way and halfway over the fence the other way. In other words, I talk about it and try to define it as having one foot in the world and one foot in the church on Sunday morning. Doesn't work like that. God expects us to be holy and to seek after holiness. Remember, we can only have that holiness through what Jesus has done through His blood. But He expects us to live a life striving to be more like Christ Jesus and to sin less. We know we'll never be sinless, but we can strive to sin less and to be holy and think with our minds the way that Christ Jesus thought. God placed His Holy Spirit in us the day that you got saved. I don't know where you got saved. I don't know what the circumstances were when you got saved. I've heard Brother Russell's testimony. He was saved later on in life. Brother Leroy was saved later on in life. I know I was saved when I was just a small boy. A lot of people say, "Well, you don't know nothing about being lost." Oh, yeah, I do too, because the very day that Christ Jesus came into my heart and the Holy Spirit convicted me when I was 7 years old to get out of the seat that I was in and get down to that preacher and give him my hand and tell him I wanted to be a child of God and I wanted him to be saved, I knew at that time that just that instant before I got down there and that preacher, I knew I was lost. 7 years old. You say 7 year old can't go to hell. Well, that ain't what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you this. I knew when I was 7 years old, when my soul was converted that I had just stepped out of a death sentence and stepped into a life sentence, everlasting and everlasting. At that point, it was time for me to begin to practice holiness. I didn't always do that. I did like a lot of people. I got saved and I got baptized and then I fell away and I got into all kind of stuff and all kind of things, you know. I had to explore the world but thank God God brought me back to it and He found a way to bring me back. Did you know if you're a child of God, He'll always go get you and bring you back? He'll make you so miserable you'll want to come back. And that's the way it was with me. I realized I wasn't in the right place. I wasn't where God wanted me. I wanted to be back in fellowship with Him. Seeking after holiness. If you seek after holiness, you'll know what peace and rest and joy is. How do we obtain holiness? There's a term in theological circles that's called spiritual formation. To understand spiritual formation is to understand the quest for holiness. If I had to define spiritual formation, I would just put it to you like this, and it's like getting your spiritual ducks in a row, not being up and down, but flying level. Get all of the pieces and put together in the correct and right way. Getting your ducks in a row. Living the right way. Living the right way 100% of the time, not just part of the time. Spiritual formation is all about striving to be like Christ Jesus. To be more like Him. And to be less like self and the desires of the flesh. Paul said, exercise yourself into godliness. It's a work. So when people condemned the Apostle James for talking about works, he wasn't talking about salvation. He was talking about the works that you do after salvation. One of those works is sanctification or spiritual formation. We exercise and we work ourselves into godliness or into holiness. Practice these things. Have a good Christian character. A good code of conduct. How can one claim Christ Jesus? How can one claim Christ Jesus and still live in the world? How can one claim Christ Jesus and still curse like a sailor and use abusive words and practice anger and do all of the things that's listed in the Bible? All of those things that we find in Galatians chapter 5, adultery, fornication, all of these sexual sins, all of these terrible things that we do. Folks, we gotta learn that this is not an option about living and seeking after holiness in the quest for holiness. It's not going to interrupt your salvation. If you've been saved, you've been saved and you've been sealed until the day of redemption. A lot of people say, well, a drunk can't go to heaven. Well, I tell you this. If he's a saved drunk, he's going to heaven. Amen. A lot of people say, I've heard this said. People that commit suicide can't go to heaven because the law says that you ain't supposed to murder. So when you murder yourself, I've worked through this with many people and many families who have had loved ones who had done that to themselves, committed suicide. Let me tell you something. The Bible's very clear about this. When you get saved and God calls you out and He brings you over from out of that other team or that other place and brings you back into His fold and into His family and He calls you a child of God and you are sealed in the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, like the Bible says, And that word sealed means sealed in the Holy Spirit. It means sealed. It means can't get loose. You can't get away. It doesn't matter what you do or way you act or how you are. You're just not going to get away because you're sealed. So if a person is saved and gets saved, and then they have a stressful life, maybe they have some kind of emotional breakdown, I don't know, whatever gets on them and causes them to take their own life. Did you know they're still sealed in the Holy Spirit? Amen. What about those people that get saved, and they're Christian people, and then they commit some kind of terrible crime? What if they commit murder? And then they have to go to prison for the rest of their life. May have to even go to death row. What about them? Did they lose their salvation? No, indeed. If they were a Christian before they went to prison, they're a Christian in prison. And they'll be a Christian when they come out of prison. They'll be a Christian when they're ushered into heaven. There's no getting loose from this thing, people. Once you get saved, you are saved and sealed until the day of redemption. I know there's a lot of preachers around this city this morning saying that you can backslide and you can lose your salvation. You cannot lose anything that God has given you. Jesus said, whatsoever I place in the Father's hand, no man taketh away. You are sealed and you're going to stay sealed in the Holy Spirit. However, you will lose your peace and your joy if you're not careful. And I'm talking about that peace and that joy that Jesus has promised you here on this earth, here on this planet, while you live in the flesh. When you get broken down, brokenhearted, and life just isn't treating you good, and things are bad, I got to tell you, 9 times out of 10, not always, but 9 times out of 10, if you'll just stop and take a nice deep breath, and pause for a minute and start thinking, what brought this on me? What's happened to me? You know, Job, when he faced all his trials and tribulation, his 3 friends sat around trying to figure out what he'd done wrong. Job, you done something wrong. Something's wrong in your life. And he kept saying, no, I've judged myself and I've searched my soul. I've been faithful to God, and I haven't done anything to deserve this. Except for what God has done to me, He deserves to do whatever He wants to do with me. When you get down and you get beat up and tore up, stop, pause, and think about it. I always do that. When something's not right in my life, I know it's not right for some reason. And as I search myself, I generally find what it is. And I've had to do that and had to face some things, had to make some corrections in my life, in my quest for holiness. I'm not just on a trip. I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, living in a foreign land. This is not my home. So I'm not going to be completely satisfied. Not going to be completely happy as long as I'm living in a foreign land and I'm sojourning here. I know that the time's going to come when God's going to take me home. And when He takes me home and gives me the news that He's going to take me home, I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going home. Going to be with the Savior. Going to be where my Lord Jesus is. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. We spoke about this thing isn't optional. If you want complete peace, joy, and rest while you live here on this planet in the flesh, you must be successful in your quest for holiness. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, shows us here where it isn't an option. Follow peace. This is instruction to the Christian. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Did you get that? Seek after holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. In other words, if you don't have a desire on your heart, if you don't have an inward passion in you, the Holy Spirit, for seeking after holiness and seeking after righteousness and seeking after right, then you are probably not saved. If you don't have that burning desire down in you that comes from the Holy Spirit indwelling you and living in you, if you don't have that desire to do right, to seek after God, to sin less, then you probably need to get saved. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you and lives in me. He is not only a comforter, and we depend a great deal on the Holy Spirit as a comforter. That's the fun part. That's the easy part. Being comforted and surrounded by God's Holy Spirit that lives in us. But something else that the Holy Spirit does, as He dwells in you, He becomes your convictor. A person that isn't saved, and that is a person who hasn't turned their life over to the Lord Jesus, doesn't believe in Christ Jesus, their mind is ruled by what we call a consciousness. A conscience. They have a conscience that's implanted in them. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, every person that's born has a conscious state in them. They have the ability to recognize right from wrong. The Bible tells us that we have an inborn conscience when we are born. But you get something different from that when you become a Christian. You get the Holy Spirit of God living in you. He's your friend. He's your comforter. He is your convictor. And every time you go to do anything that is unholy, or even think anything that's unholy, and if you aren't brought to a consciousness of it through the Holy Spirit immediately before you do it, you probably aren't saved. In other words, if you can just keep on sinning repetitiously without any remorse or without any desire to change, then the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you. Now, that doesn't mean that you're always going to listen to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that you're going to break those things, those terrible things that you do. It means that the Holy Spirit is going to keep bringing it back, bringing it back. You need to change. You need to change. I know it. You need to change. You need to change. You don't need to be doing this. You need to be working at this, in other words. You need to be exercising yourself into godliness. You need to keep working on these things. What is holiness? Holiness is seeking to please God. Holiness is delighting, according to the Bible, is delighting in the law of the God. Holiness is conforming to the image of Christ Jesus. Holiness is applying the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5 to your life. Humility, patience, gentleness, long-suffering, and meekness. Now these attributes and seeking after holiness is going to go against everything that your flesh has taught you. Holiness is a complete battle against everything that you've been taught in the flesh. When you are a child, you are taught in school to be successful no matter what. The sports that we play teach us to trample our opponents. The music that we listen to in the world teaches us to do ungodly things. Music, the right kind of music can be a blessing. Some kinds of music can be a complete curse. Be very careful what you listen to, and listen and find out what your children are listening to. Little teenagers, boys and girls, they gonna listen to what their friends listen to. What's exciting? Some of the stuff you hear out of some of these music boxes on the street, there's some evil stuff coming out of those things. Ungodly stuff. Unholy stuff. Listen. Investigate. And if your children, a lot of people say, well, my child needs to develop and to grow and be exposed. No, if God has placed a child in your care or a grandchild, you need to take control and you need to stop anything that's evil that will hamper the growth and development of that child. If it's music, if it's television, or if it's something in the computer, you need to take responsibility for it and put a stop to it. You also need to make sure that you take responsibility for what your ears listen to and what your eyes see and where your heart goes and the things that you get caught up into you. So how do I get and seek after and begin this trip of holiness? Very first thing that you got to do, the very first starting place, is Jesus. Amen? You got to submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't find any place else to start. There's nothing else, no other starting place. It requires a spirit of brokenness and humility that comes out of Matthew chapter 5. If you're still defiant and you have a me attitude, you're not starting in the right starting box. You're not going to negotiate the next stage. The second thing that I would suggest that everybody here do. Now, I don't know if I'm the only one in the church that has a problem with this, Brother Leroy, but I have a problem with being holy. Now, I don't know how y'all are, but I have a problem with being holy, and then I have a problem with my quest after holiness or in pursuit of holiness. Why? Because of this wretched mind that I have. This little piece of brain matter that's up here takes me to places I don't need to go sometimes. Takes me to places that I don't want to go. Takes me to places that I certainly don't need to be. And so it's a constant battle or a constant fight against this. Apostle Paul said it best, the things that I want to do, those are the things that I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things sometimes that I do. We're the same way. We live in the flesh. We're going to continue to be that way. Now, my advice to you, and what I've been trying to do in my life, and brother, because of some of the preaching that Brother Leroy did a few months ago about television, the things we watch, and the things we listen to, and all of that kind of stuff, some things that I'm just making suggestions. What I have learned to do, the first thing that I do, I identify and bring light those things that battle against me. Those things that battle against me, those things that I'm having some problem with, I identify them. And I look at them, and I know what my enemy is. And I know where my enemy's coming from. And then it might be two or three things I'm working on at one time. And then I go to work on these things. And every time I find myself thinking some thought that would lead me into one of these things or this junk that I'm doing, I start fighting and battling against it right then. I ask God to strengthen me. I ask God to help me overcome this. I don't want to do this. It's not something that's good for me. And so I ask God to help me battle this. And so I've learned to identify my demons. I've learned to how to battle them and put them down and do exactly what Christ Jesus said. Satan, get behind me. My eyes are on the cross. Now, folks, that's the way, if you want to really get to work on this thing of holiness and your quest for holiness, that's the way to do it. Start with Jesus. Do it in the power of Almighty God. Claim the victory before you do it. Ask God to help you. And then identify what your vices are, what your problem areas are, and be very conscious of them and go to work on them and beat them down. And not only beat them down, destroy them. When you do that, you will be well on your way in your quest for holiness. Amen. I guess everybody can identify with that. I guess I'm not the only one. I don't think I am. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today, and I thank you, Father, for everyone who came this way today. I pray for the ones that's not with us today for whatever reason. I pray for Brother Ken, who's sick, in and out of the hospital for surgery. Lord, I pray that you'll help him and be with him. Pray that you'll be with Sister Janet as she's staying in Arkansas for a few weeks. I pray, Father, for others who are not here for whatever reason. I thank you for answering prayer, for healing. And God, I pray, thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died so that we might be set free. God, in the name of Jesus, today I pray that you'll go with this people. I pray, Father, that as they go about their quest for holiness, that you'll hold them up. Let them lift up weak hands. Make them strong. Let the poor become rich. Let the roads straighten out for them. God, I pray that you'll help them through these things. Help them to identify their enemy and then go about destroying it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.